controller, my CRL systems, and finally my final tailoring goes through an Aphex. 702 is it? Dominator 2, model 720. I had in there before, a Texar, I think, yeah, and it just couldn't quite meet the peakiness of my voice, the demands, and so I went with this Aphex, and it really did have better fidelity. You know, at least Kevin and I, we can hear the difference, and supposedly this thing can pass square waves. I don't know, that's what they advertise anyway, into IRJ.
Okay, N2IRJ, AC2IQ. I like the way it sounds. And be honest with you, most of the decent old analog stuff, usually it sounds better than a lot of this fancy digital processing. But it's probably because a lot of people just don't really know how to adjust things. So yeah, I think you get a very good sound. Like I said, I use my analog processor that I built. If you looked in them pictures, you'll see a picture of a microphone next to a copper board. It looks like a spider web on it. That's an audio processor I made. It has all kinds of junk on it. Three bands of compression. It's got an AGC on the mic input, so you can't overload that. Little effects processor. What the hell else has it got in there? Pre-emphasis. Of course, you're limiting. You could actually do asymmetrical. Bunch of crap. It works well. Right now, I'm using computer for audio. What I'm using is it's a VST host. I'm using a VST called Stereo Tool. That's pretty much doing most of the processing. A few other plugins I got in there for a couple of other things I want to do, but that's pretty much what I'm playing around with now. And I use an M Audio Fast Track Ultra 8R. It's an 8-channel in and out USB external sound card, basically.
You have the perfect setup. When you quit talking, it's just silence, and it's done tastefully. I like that. And that, the one device you spoke of, the, I'm having that memory lapse, the positive peaks versus the negative peaks, I forgot the name of that. You built that, or it equalizes your peaks? For example, my voice is asymmetrical, and I didn't know whether I should try to do anything about that or not electronically. Over.
Yeah, the homebrew processor I made handles all that. It can actually, it's great for AM, where if you want to, have a lot of positive peak modulation and yet keep your negatives at a, 99 or wherever you want to keep it at, it can handle that rather well. It's got a couple modes in it that I experimented around with. One of them actually takes the incoming audio, and at the zero line, you have your positive peaks above, your negative below. It'll actually take them and split them in half, process each of them independently. So if you had a signal that had a lot of, say, positive peaks to it, it would lower the positive peaks, say, down to 100%, but it would leave your negative ones alone. I've played around with that a lot. It seems to work. So there's a bunch of stuff I've played with. Right now, the software processor I'm running, it pretty much keeps the audio relatively symmetrical. I could have a male voice pretty asymmetrical. It comes out of here relatively equal positive and negative peaks. So I've done some experimenting around using this, especially in AM versus 150% positive peaks and whatever. This 100% either way seems to be just as loud and doesn't need all the headroom.
Yeah, Roger on the headroom. I was going to say that we, our method of trying to stay clean is to not run the exciter very hard. You can run it up to 0 dB. In fact, on the recording, they have it programmed to actually go to a positive 1, but I guess that's not digital zero. Otherwise, there would be problems. But anyway, we're at, I'm going to set it a negative 6. It's very conservative. So then I can build at each stage and amplify the small signal up to what I need to ultimately run the feature tube amplifier, which I already have, but it's sort of in disheveled condition.
That sounds like fun. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I do here. The output of the exciter, real, real clean. Then from there, it just relies on a very linear amplifier to take it to wherever you want to go.
Took some mechanical engineering ability to do this. Also, my father always said he wanted a lathe in his cellar, but unfortunately he never had. He did get his dream, but you have a lathe and everything, huh? It, right?
Yeah, correct. It's an old, old South Bend 4-foot-long lathe. Jeez, you can make some stuff with that.
That's great. When I need some lathe work done, I used to go locally here, but they became obscene on prices and places shut down and all that, and I found a ham that can be trusted, and I'll put a good word in for him. It's, his name is Richie. His call sign is KB2DMD. That would be Virgil 3 because he's in Pennsylvania. And he has a gun shop, gunsmith, but he's at a level far above that. He can work down into the micron, into the angstroms, I mean, when he's machining parts. So, I mean, he could actually build you from a block metal a gun, and it would be a darn good one at that. So. I just thought I'd mention, but it sounds like you don't need any help on that angle. You're already self-sufficient.
Might not be quite as good as where he's at, but, you know, I can make the basics. The only thing I got to pick up now is maybe a little mill. That would be real nice. But, yeah, for the most part, I could usually manage to make a part if I need it for something.
Well, apparently, you know, when you talk to Kevin next, when he's back, you'll probably be able to go back and chat old time's sake about AMer friends. Do you go back to the old days of the AMer crowd, or when did you enter the AM window?
Believe it or not, I've not had a license very long. I think maybe a couple years now, but I've known a lot of my friends that are amateurs for, 20, 30 years. And they finally talked me into, why don't you take a test? So they kind of got me into it. Because I said, I'm in the RF industry, and I've met a lot of people in radio through that. And, you know, would work on things for them, whatever. And they're like, you should get a license if you can talk. So relatively new as in licensing, but I've kind of been around the stuff for quite a while.
Roger, boy, you are definitely not the typical new age extra class that was not brought up tinkering and learning the technical aspects along the way. And yeah, if you're in the industry, in my industry, they make me take, it's kind of insulting to my intelligence, and the same test the mechanics take, 9 elements of the, I forget what it's called, ASC or something, Automotive Service Excellence. But I'm actually an engineering physicist, and I did work on a Oak Ridge National Laboratory with nuclear radiation, a nuclear engineer there. And then I worked for a car company for about 15 years, being their chief engineer and product liability investigator and so forth. So, well, we'll have a lot of, I think we'll have a real nice match in comparing notes. If you had an older car, I could probably do wonders for it. But unfortunately now, on some of the newer cars, they're already so fine-tuned that to fine-tune them further would require my getting into their computers and all that. And a lot of the stuff is proprietary, and you can't find out what you need to know to change what you need to change.
Guess that's why they make the aftermarket stuff. I do play a little bit with that, because I find it interesting. A couple friends of mine have some businesses in the high performance end, and I design a few things for that also. I've done some stuff for race bikes. You know, so I'm very interested in that field also. Certainly ain't no expert at it, but yeah, I have some understanding of how things work, so I kind of dibble and dabble in a little bit of everything.
Well, to use a ham radio term, fine business. I'm your New Jersey neighbor now. I've always been, I guess. I wonder, let me see, let's look on Kira's and see how far we are apart. In detail, we are only 45.8 air miles apart. So someday, I hope to meet with you.
Yeah, that sounds great. Maybe at one of the ham fest or whatever. I try to go to, you know, as many as I can get to, you know, within, say, a 100-mile radius. I usually don't go too much farther than that.
Roger. Yeah, feel free to come in anytime or just listen to us if you want. And eventually, as I get my station perfected, I will be sounding more like your signal. Yeah, although, thank you for complimenting me. And it's largely in part due to, first of all, the recordings back and forth that we would do over the air, and then we would do MP3s, and finally it takes a golden ear, which Kevin has, and we sort of perfected it that way. It's so, you know, there's so many people that will try to help you, but they really don't understand what to tell you. You know, they give you wrong answers, and Kevin is totally opposite that, and obviously you are too, since you've achieved what you have.
Yeah, well, that's one thing when it comes to this stuff. I usually I'll make a recording of, you know, myself on the receiver and play it back, listen to it, and make adjustments like that, and kind of leave it up to my ear. So yeah, you're lucky if you have somebody that kind of really knows what they're doing, knows what to listen for. And by the way, if my transmitter was sounding like yours, I'd be very happy. So certainly nothing wrong with the way you sound.
Thank you very much. Kevin is responsible, and he's always telling me not to touch anything. Although I've been a bad boy, and I ever so slightly tweaked a few things, but I didn't tell him. And I've never touched it since. So... oh, there goes the ID. I put that on automatic. I participate in a net, and I do phone patches through this system, and try to do high fidelity ones through Skype. They used to support 80 to 11,000 hertz, but I don't know what they are anymore. But they're still these better than telephone lines. And anyway, radio amateurs who are down or crippled or whatever, I patch them through, and they get to talk. And anyway, that's why that CW ID was on. It's automatic with a timer. Well, maybe I should not overdo it the first time, but I want you to come back. I want to get to know you better, David. That's the name of one of my closest friends' back in my hometown where I was born, we used to talk radios. I used to put secret frequencies in his walkie-talkie, and we would have our secret private channels, and oh boy. Of course, nowadays everyone has that, but I'm into performance too, and all the aspects, longevity, efficiency, the biggest bang for the buck, and someday I'll have to hear about your work with motorcycles. I started off with small engines. When I was a little kid, I managed to obtain an illegal job at 14 years old, and I was the head lawnmower mechanic at Battery and Electric Corporation in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. And people would say, why don't you just go out and play baseball and enjoy your childhood? I would say, I am enjoying my childhood. I really love this. Give me more. So that's how it ended up with me. Over.
That's funny. Sounds like me. I know when I was a kid, same thing. I had no problem staying home in my little shack, playing around with stuff while all my friends were out partying and doing stupid stuff. I just stayed home and tinkered.
Exactly.
But, okay, yeah, definitely nice talking to you. Nice meeting you on here. And yeah. Like I said, you guys caught my attention. I was just going through the band. I'm like, look like nice signals. Then I kind of hung out and listened for a while. I'm like, all right, here's a couple guys that know what they're talking about. So, guess that's how it all started.
Yeah, next time we chat, I'll have to have Kevin explain to you how he modified his Clipperton L, and he renamed it the Clipperton LSD, and I forget what it stands for, the SD, but it's logical, based upon, something about a dropping, there was a resistor going to ground or something would introduce a low-level AC hum, and they all had that problem, and he found a proper transformer, audio transformer, I think, to ground it perfectly and eliminate the problem completely. And there's some other things, too, that can be done with that amplifier to boost its power, boost its efficiency, and so forth. Which it's yet to be done, that it eats capacitors. But as you could hear, he was coming in very well in New Jersey. He's in western Pennsylvania, southwestern Pennsylvania, and kind of like around Pittsburgh area. So anyway, he's not cheating in any way. I mean, he's just smart. He builds things like you. He finds problems and like design defects that the manufacturer let go out the door. And most people are operating it their whole lives, not never even knowing that they have a 60 hertz AC hum at a low level on their signal. But he takes it to the limit, and that's how I am. I like to be obsessive compulsive in certain things. Only certain things, but this is one of them. I have to have a good signal, and I'm working on that. It'll be neat. You'll be able to see my progress. There might be some back steps, too, but I guess you're running amplification right now. I am, but I'm only giving you about 500 watts. Over.
All right. I'm not running too much more. I'm running right at legal limit, pretty close.
Roger. That sounds real good. That's what I need, and that's what my amplifier will do. And, of course, I believe in headroom, so you can read between the lines. But, no, I'm not any kind of barbarian. I'm into running things lightly. And it's so nice when you have it designed to be that way, because you're not always fixing it. You're not always breaking it. You're not always blowing it up. I mean, when I was a little kid and I'd crank up a CB or something, I didn't worry about the aesthetics like today, the clipping or, all the things we know about these days. Well, it's been my pleasure, David, and do you listen anywhere besides participating on the 3875 region on an AM, I guess? Reason I ask is you could probably count on us sticking here. It sort of happened by accident, but we've been doing it on a routine basis for about a month now, and I think we're going to continue. I monitor the frequency and everything, and we have I don't say that, want to say a bet going, but Kevin predicts that come winter, we'll be able to stay in contact even through noontime. Normally, we get fade out around this time between here and the Pittsburgh area on this frequency, but as the night time is shorter, it helps us talk on 80 meters.
Okay. I usually hang right around the bottom of the band here, maybe 36, and you know, them guys move up a little bit, I kind of jump up there and listen, and 3875. I listen to a lot of AM, but I'd say 99% of the time, I'm just listening. I'm usually not very talkative.
Yeah, I'm the same way. But boy, when you do talk, you're heard, and it's really pleasant sounding. In 3875, you know, that you said you're into this as a newbie, but you're really not a newbie in terms of your technical knowledge. But did you know that 3885 used to be, or still is, the AM window kind of over?
Yeah. I know that. 75 is where I tend to hang out mostly, though. But like I said, I've been around amateurs for quite a while, just never really got into the stuff, and now that I am, I find it interesting. But mostly, I like building things, and that's the biggest interest to me. Not a very big talker. Actually, most of the time, most of my amateur friends that are over here, they're talking on my radio equipment. I just sit there and kind of watch things, how they look.
Well, that's a real delight. It'll be a delight when my friends can come over here and do the same. I had a ham shack in mind when I got this house built in the woods decades ago, and then I got sick for a while with Lyme disease, and I was in bed and I had my radios over there, and now everything is getting shifted and renovated at the same time, so it's like a cyclone hit it, but it'll one day look real nice and next to yours.
Oh, mine certainly don't look too nice. my shack's out in my business, so there's usually some noise going on in the background and junk all over the place, but it works for me.
Your shack is out of your business. You mean you're at work now?
Well, I'm supposed to be working, but I'm doing what I'd rather do. My transmitter, receiver, all that is right next to my so-called engineering bench, where I'm supposed to be over there working on some projects, but having more fun playing with this.
Man, you have the life. The life of Riley. Well, you mean, what about at home? I mean, those pictures, they were your house.
Yeah, correct. You can see from the pictures, it's a pole barn. It's a metal pole barn. It sits, it's about 100 feet from the house. So my business is 100 feet from home. Makes you really lazy.
Guess what? The person I told you about that I trust to do fine machining work, and he's also a ham operator and very cordial, very gentlemanly. He would really like to meet someone like you, and I'd be happy to introduce you. He has the same setup. His house is on one side of the road, and right across the other side is his business. So it's the same situation. Now I understand completely. Okay.
Yeah, it works out good. So if I'm out here working and get a little bored, I can kind of switch it up. But I definitely got to get to back to work, working on a project that has a bit of a deadline, and I need to get a few things done on it. But like I said, heard you guys out there. Just wanted to throw my two cents in real quick.
I am glad you did, and I'll let you get to the job, and I'll say 7-3 to you, David. My name's Marty, and the call's NTYRJ. And feel free to email me anytime or break in on one of our QSOs, and maybe I'll go looking for you on AM up on 3875. The only apology I can make is I don't have the power yet that I used to have. That until all that gets redone. In fact, I could probably need to pick your brain on a few of the technical problems when we have time. There are three of us working on the project, Kevin and Pat, KM2T. I don't know if you've ever worked him or not. He's my neighbor, and I'm working on it. And there's some technical questions we have that probably maybe you'd be able to answer. We're going to experiment with input, trying to drive the tube. Right now it's going through a toroid, and there's inefficiencies, and I won't get into it now because I said I was going to play with you. But we'll have fun. It'll give us something to talk about next time. Over.
Okay, sounds good, Marty. Sometimes I'm not so good talking a lot of the technical. I'm usually a little bit better at maybe solving the problem. But yeah, I'm more than happy to join in. But okay, I will definitely look for some signals up here. If I see them, I will jump up here, and certainly if you catch me down on 3636, jump right in. So, okay, I'll sign out here with you. Nice, nice meeting you. Great talking to you. Definitely been a pleasure. And to IRJ from Alpha Charlie 2, India, Quebec. 73s, Marty.
Thank you, David. That's what all this hard work was about, so I could finally get to this point. Actually, I want to get to the point where you're at with the whole 9 yards. But I'm at least to maybe 4 yards now. Ben, and as you said, the audio side is carrying me. It's not the power, and once I have my station up and running like yours, I'll even give you a better playback on your audio, even though I think you already know how good it sounds. And by the way, I take your advice with due respect, with total respect, because I know what you've done for your own, and for you to compliment me on the audio, that's starting to make me feel much more secure, because further up in the band, I really could never find many people with an ear. You could 3636 guys I plan on meeting up with, but it I can't operate down there. My antenna's too short. It was cut for the top end of the band. So I have to make some changes if I'm going to be doing this ESSB stuff. Right now, I'm at the borderline. I'm like a 3-to-1 SWR on a solid-state amplifier. And if I go a little bit lower, then it trips out. So I can't even have a QSO with them if I want. It's not that I'm snubbing them or anything. But I'll go down there one day and see you. Okay, let's get to work. All the best, David. AC2IQ. You have a high IQ.
I don't know about that. I actually picked that call only because of the, transmitter type of stuff being a quadrature, IQ type transmitter. So that's what that's about. Not because I'm smart. All right. Sounds good. Again, definitely a pleasure talking to you. And like I said, I think your audio is perfect. You don't catch a lot of the guys. They I don't know. To me, it seems like they screw stuff up. They dump way too much bass, boost up the high end, put a hole in the middle. You seem to have a very I'm not good at explaining things. Not a flat, but a very well-rounded audio. To me, I like it. They said if I sounded like you, I would be happy and I won't say I probably wouldn't touch it. I can't help myself there, but I would be very happy if I sounded like you did. So, doing very good. 73s. I will definitely talk to you soon. AC2 IQ is clear.
What you just said will make Kevin proud too. Thanks so much, Dave. I'll see you. Take care. Bye-bye for now. N2IRJ clearing out.